Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all have one thing in common. Don't we all want to know what's really going on in this crazy year called 2020? So welcome to the 462nd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of this message is The Coronavirus, Protests and Riots, and the Lack of Knowledge. And later in this message, we're going to tie it all into a very special verse out of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, which reads, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I'll continue with that later on, so be sure to stay in. And we're going to build on what we covered last week concerning liberty and justice for all. Now, the bottom line, folks, is that we're all being destroyed by a lack of knowledge. So what's really going on in this scamdemic and these mostly peaceful riots? I mean, protests popping up all across America. Well, be sure to stay tuned to find out as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion and while on steroids. But remember, it all started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist, as I like to call it. So, folks, buckle your seatbelts and get ready for another episode of SDG. Update. Hey, there's all kinds of stupid stuff going on, folks. Freaky deaky, as Sister Kathy calls it. Here's one. It's out of birchgold.com. Brandon Smith. He writes some good stuff, folks. And the title of this that he published on the 10th of July is The Delusion of a Seamless Reopening Will Soon Be Destroyed. And that's the truth. So last Friday, Brandon, and I think I agree, and you probably would too, that the first wave of the pandemic lockdowns, as they were called, this place we call America, home of the free and land of the brave, it became a surreal place, didn't it? You know, Brandon witnessed the same things I did here in rural western Pennsylvania. The average people in my area, you know, I'd be walking into a store, a box store, the only ones that were open. And what I saw were empty shelves. And that look on people's faces, you know what I'm talking about? A blank look, bewilderment, and fear. Their eyes look like saucers. You remember? Wind the clock back to April. No one was staring at their cell phones anymore. They were walking with this, I don't know what it was, this conviction. They guarded their shopping carts like a dog or a pack of hyenas guard a carcass. You know what I'm talking about? Now, the tension has subsided since then, okay? But only because most people in America assumed that this was going to get back to normal. Okay, as we get into the summer and the reopenings happened and the economy was jump-started and we had the V-shaped recovery. And then these hotspots come along. How convenient, eh? And the riots, mostly peaceful protests, okay? It's crazy what we're seeing going on. So it's not getting back to normal, folks. And the real public crisis is going to strike when the second wave of lockdowns are enforced by, not this time even by state governments, but by local governments. Here in Western Pennsylvania, the governor has now deferred it to the counties. Do you believe that, folks? And our commissioners, or if they have home rule charter, which is another step towards communism, if they have a home rule charter executive like they do in the big county here in Western Pennsylvania, Rich Fitzgerald in Allegheny County, they are making the lockdowns. They are enforcing these lockdowns. And I'll tell you, the chickens are going to come home to roost. I should have a chicken clip here, huh, folks? These orders are getting tighter and tighter, folks. I mean, did you see that news clip where President Trump wore a face mask to Walter Reed Hospital last weekend? And then this coming Monday, on the 20th of July, Walmart claims it's going to begin enforcing face masks in all their stores. Now, it's been, quote unquote, mandatory. It's a mandate, but, you know, mandates aren't what you think they are, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But they claim on Monday that they're going to enforce them in all their stores. Now, if that's the case here in Katanning, Pennsylvania, folks, I'm saying goodbye to Walmart once and for all. Now, I know it's the only game in our town. We're a small town here in northwestern Pennsylvania. But I'll tell you what, I'll drive further and I'll pay more to support stores that recognize common sense concerning face masks. Folks, we all need to breathe fresh air, not the waste products from our respiratory systems. Our lungs put out more of our respiratory, oxidative waste than any other system in our body. And we're going to keep breathing it in. You know, these restrictions are already starting in California, Arizona, Texas, Florida, Georgia, and even here in Pennsylvania, like I said. And did you hear what Governor Newsom in California has created? A rapid strike force. I heard it last night on Rick Wiles' True News thing on Facebook. Somebody sent that to me. I caught the last bit. Newsom has created these rapid strike forces to go against churches in California that decide to remain open. Folks, I can't believe I'm hearing this stuff today. And I'm saying it here on this message. In America, the supposed land of the free and home of the brave. So we have new lockdowns. Now, they're not officially being called lockdowns, but arose by any other name. So what does all this mean for the U.S. economy going forward? And that's the key here, folks. Well, the first lockdowns, they caused that explosive unemployment growth. And, you know, we're having trouble hiring people right now. We need people. We're in a critical manufacturing business. We support all the power generation plants around the world, folks. By the grace of God, our company produces the best mica tape insulation reinforcement out of any out there. And all the OEMs, the Westinghouses, the General Electrics, the A.B. Smith's, all of them, they use it. Cato, Caterpillar, every company that makes generators has switched to our products for a high-output generator. From the ones that are used for emergency power to the big ones at the power plants that are being built all around the world. And you know what, folks? I can't get employees. You know what they tell me when they come in? Well, I get more on unemployment with the $600 a week from the federal government than I can get here. And I say, it's ending at the end of July. Do you want a job, guy? And they don't take the job. I need people. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to say it. Where is John Galt? Who is John Galt? Just like Ayn Rand said, and Atlas Shrugged. I'm about ready. You know what Governor Wolf said? Just pay them more. Well, we have all sorts of cost constraints, folks. I can't just go to this supply chain and say, we're going to raise the price. It doesn't work that way. Yet our governor here in Pennsylvania just wants us to raise our entry rate. And then you've got stores like Target, big mega corporations that say, we're going to start people at $15 an hour. Well, we started people for training as a trainee at $11 an hour. When they got qualified, we bring them to $15. And then from there, they move up. And now we have Target starting at 15. This is going to collapse the total cost structure you see across the world. I'm just telling you, folks, it's going to get bad. 95 million people were without work. And that's an official number. And you know how bad that is. You got to go to Shadow Stats with Williams and look at the real numbers, okay? The unemployment rate, if you factor everything that used to be factored before the Clinton administration changed it, it's more like 31% right now. And that's the same as it was during the Great Depression. So far, folks, I'm telling you, in 2020, 4,300 major retail stores have closed. Thousands are already hit. And they call it the retail apocalypse if you follow any of this in alt media. And you don't hear about it in the mainstream news, though. Small businesses are being decimated. I'm a small manufacturing business. Like I said, by the grace of God, we were blessed. It's been a tough road 20 years. And I get frustrated, folks. 13 to 18% of small businesses, okay? I should say 13 to 18% of the businesses that applied for the small business help. And what it was basically, and we got some of it, as long as you keep your employees for a certain amount of time, which we've been doing, even though we saw orders in all the other markets other than the power generation drop off, we supply automotive, we supply aircraft, all aircraft, our business is decimated, folks. Our fabric went into the vapor barrier lining on all of the new Airbus and the big Boeing Dreamliners, and there were several models of that. Decimated, done. We don't have any orders. So the small loans were given out that became grants if you keep everybody for a certain amount of time. But 13 to 18% of those loans actually went to large corporations. This whole thing is upside down, folks. So these economic factors are working hand in hand with a couple others, namely civil unrest and this, whatever you want to call it, scamdemic, pandemic, whatever. They're working hand in hand to destroy this nation. Now listen to me, folks, and please understand this. It's necessary for you to prepare to protect your family. And I'm not just talking with food. You better be prepared to protect your family. And it has to be done now. I'm telling you, this isn't going to be even a minor recovery. It's not even going to be a U-shaped recovery, let alone a V-shaped recovery, after this next wave of shutdowns is done. It's not. This is absolutely, totally nuts. You know, I get frustrated with all this stuff. Here's another article out of Zero Hedge. Actually, they're more like a routing service for other articles, so I don't know where this one came from. I got it from Zero Hedge. It says, Michigan passes a controversial bill to microchip humans voluntarily. Okay, and why are they doing this? This is right in the headline, to protect their privacy. So there's a plan now. Okay, it was sponsored by Representative Bronick Kyle, and it was under the guise of protecting the privacy of workers. Can you believe this, how they twist things? I'm never surprised anymore. I should be, but I'm not, okay? So the objective of this bill is to protect the privacy rights of Michigan workers and to promote further growth for job providers as it relates to microchipping. Now, this is cutting-edge technology. I love how they use those words, okay? And it's on the rise to increase workplace efficiency. But let's call it what it is. Just like we heard rapper Kanye West do last week. It's the mark of the beast, folks. That's right, the mark of the beast. Now, back in May, I warned you about this, okay? I told you that there was a plan to microchip humans on a global scale with this new digital ID, okay? It uses this this compound called luciferase, and it's a chemiluminescent material. And then I mentioned in one of the messages back in, I think it was May, that one of the members of the Italian parliament, a woman by the name of Sara Cunial, she denounced Bill Gates because he was trying to get this into his vaccines. She denounced him as a vaccine criminal, and she urged the Italian president to hand him over. Now, I don't know how the Italian president would do that. Gates isn't in Italy. She wanted him handed over to the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. And folks, he ought to be investigated from his dealings with Epstein on Epstein's private jet to Loyola Express down to his private island where he abused young girls. Did you see that special on 2020 about this? It copied a lot of the Netflix documentary on it. I had to turn that one off. It was so disgusting. You look at what he did to these young girls in their teens, young, impressionable girls, well, young women. They interviewed them now. Some of them are in their 30s. They're ruined emotionally, physically, spiritually. You ought to see them. They're wrecks. I had to shut it off. I couldn't stand it anymore. But Bill Gates has this agenda, okay? And he tried to get it started in both India and Africa. And it was a program that he called ID 2020. But they threw him out. Now, under this plan back in Michigan, the employers were going to be given permission to use this microchipping technology, okay, to help their employees on a voluntary basis become more efficient. And this rep over in Michigan claims that this measure strikes a good balance between protecting workers' rights and giving businesses a flexibility to increase efficiency and to grow more. I'm telling you, folks, that'll never come into my company. We have a biometric ID. You put your thumb on this scanner, and it doesn't go any further than the scanner. But we did that because the time clock kept screwing up, and it would miss strike, and we couldn't read the hours on it and the minutes on it, you know, when we had to do pay. Plus, it took so long to read all those time cards. So that is efficiency. And there was even some pushback from our employees on that, but we promised them that it didn't go any further than the little system inside there. It's not hooked up to anything else. But boy, I couldn't even imagine, and I would never do it, putting a microchip into our plant. Now, they did say in this article that there was some pushback. But you know where the pushback came from? Research indicating that RFID transponders cause cancer. You know, there's a report out there, and that's what the pushback was, not the stuff I just mentioned about the beast and all the privacy issues. Pushback because people were uncomfortable from this report. 90% of the people they surveyed that this could cause cancer in people because a study showed it did cause cancer in lab animals. Isn't this funny? I want to laugh. This is stupid as saying I'm going to kill you so you don't have any more pain. I just can't believe the stuff I'm seeing anymore. You know what this reminds me of? That old saying that you can't let the camel stick its nose under your tent or soon you're going to be sleeping with the camel. Did you ever hear that before? Well, it's happening in America right now. We need to say no more. I found this. I was going to put it in last week, but I want to share it with you today. This was something Dave Hodges wrote, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to just get the flavor of it. It's just a mask. It's just for 2 weeks. It's just non-essential businesses. It's just to keep from overwhelming the hospital's ICU beds. It's just until the cases go down, or we can find more ways to, and I'm going to add this sarcastically, illegitimately inflate the numbers. It's just to keep others from being scared. It's just a few more weeks. How long ago did they say that, folks? And then you know what I think we're going to hear in the future? It's just until we get the vaccine. In fact, we're already hearing that. There's just a few side effects. That's what Bill Gates said already. It's just the elderly that are going to be hurt by it. The very people we're trying to protect. It's just a bracelet, or it's just a chip in your hand, or it's just an app on your phone. You know, iPhones are installing that tracker app right now for contact tracing. My office manager, Mary, she has an iPhone. She has it coupled to her watch, and she can communicate anywhere through the plant. She can call up the production reports. It is very efficient. She came to me appalled the other day and said, look, they loaded this contact tracer on my phone. I didn't ask for that. It's just a few more months. You know, it's just the churches for a while. You just can't sing in the churches. I don't know what's Newsom doing now. So Hodges goes on with that. Folks, the point is that Americans are too lazy to fight for what God gave them. These rights didn't come from government. They came from God. And if we don't pay attention, I'm telling you, we're going to lose them. And the mainstream media, they're not the fifth column. They're not the protectors of our way of life. They're in collusion with the big business and the globalists to bring this all down. Hey, here's another article. Listen to this one. BLM teacher says that 2 + 2 only equals 4 because of Western imperialism. This is true. Found this one on InfoWars. Thank you, Sister Kathy. You send me so many good articles. That's why I call it the Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. So Paul Joseph Watson wrote this, okay? And there's a BLM supporting teacher. And a lot of these white people supporting this BLM are radical nuts, folks. They truly are. Even the black people were saying, calm down, calm down. This isn't what it's all about. And why are they like that? Because they're the product of a Marxist education system. Listen to this. This woman went to Twitter, okay, and she tried to assert that 2 + 2 is only 4 because of Western imperialism. She really said that. Her name's Brittany Marshall. You can find her out there on Twitter. And here's her tweet that caused this firestorm. Nope, the idea of 2 + 2 = 4 is cultural, and because of Western imperialization, that's a big word, we think it is the only way of knowing. Now, if you go to her profile and you read about her a little bit, she's got all those pronouns that she chooses to be identified by. And she lists her occupation, and listen to this right off of her Twitter account, as teacher, scholar, and social justice change agent. Now, remember that, because I'm going to play a clip in a few minutes here. And two teachers are going to be interviewed. And at the end of the clip, listen to what they say. I'm telling you, folks, her bizarre statement's just another example of this pseudo-intellectual feminist garbage that's being taught in all the major universities all across the country. I'm telling you, these are breeding grounds of darkness. And they claim, just like Chairman Mao did back in China during the revolution, racism and sexism are prevalent throughout all areas of society, and they're related. You know, Chairman Mao gave a speech on this years ago, and he quoted an old Chinese proverb when he was trying to stir the people up with feminism to destroy the family. And feminism is a change agent, folks. It's a Trojan horse. And listen to what Mao quoted, and I want you to just remember this. Mao said, and this old proverb is where he got it from, that women hold up half the sky. And more on that a little later, so stay tuned till the end of the message. Because I'm telling you, a major politician said that in a fundraising speech this week. But I'm not going to tell you who it is until the end of the message. So stay tuned. Now, in this case, okay, this Twitter person, Ms. Marshall, okay, she's arguing that math itself is racist. Okay, this is crazy. And there's a lot of social justice warriors out there who have said this over the past. These pseudo-intellectuals, they question why we have Western math and why it's in common use. And why don't we use other ways of counting like the natives do in the Aboriginal plains of Australia? Well, I don't know how they count, but I'll give you a reason why. Because we're Western and we're not Aboriginal. Maybe that's why, huh? But the notion that 2 + 2 isn't equal to 4, that's right out of doublethink. From George Orwell's 1984, folks. You know, and that principle or that idea that Orwell was trying to get across there is that one party, the state, okay, can torture dissidents and force others who cling to the truth to believe that 2 + 2 = 5. And people responded to this crazy tweet from Ms. Marshall in all sorts of different ways. And I just want to read two of them to you. One person tweeted, "Unfortunately, it's nothing new. There are videos circulating showing black students promoting to stop science because it represents white supremacy. They would prefer magic and voodoo." And another one said, "Scary thing is, this person is a teacher, probably teaching the same nonsense to our children." Well, they are. And you'll see that when I play this next clip in a few minutes. Oh, here's another article from Pulpit and Pen. It was published on the 10th of July. "Wearing a mask is just advertising you're an awful person." You know, I'm telling you, folks, America has been pillaged, plundered, ruined, and ravaged by this invisible enemy, as President Trump calls it. And it is such a farce, folks. Look at the numbers. Study the numbers. Yes, there's been a spike in deaths. And yes, there's an uncertainty to why. But is it catastrophic? Is it on the level of the Spanish flu? No. Is there a correlation between 5G launches and these hotspots? I think there is. Look at one of the 5G maps out there and where the launches are, and then correlate it back yourself to where these hotspots are. New York was one example of that. Yet nobody in the mainstream media is talking about this, and if you suggest it, you're crazy. I guess just like those couple hundred engineers are who said the Building 7 didn't come down by a fire, And now these electrical engineers and doctors all around the world are saying, stop 5G, it's dangerous. But we can't talk about that on the mainstream media. Oh, because they get their ads from Verizon and Sprint and everybody else behind it. Oh, if you'd start to talk about that, ad revenues would plummet. So much for a free and independent media, huh, folks? The truth is that the people in this country right now think you're an awful person if you don't want to wear a mask. It's upside down. It's bizarro world, clown world, like I said a few weeks ago. Folks, I don't believe these face masks are effective at all, and so does the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. AAPSONLINE.org. If you go there, there's a very good report on what face masks actually do. And if you can't find the link, email me at kdbeard1961@gmail.com. And you know what I'll do? I'll send you that report. I won't even send you the link. I'll send you the report. It's full of citations. And I have another one too. Sister Kathy sent me another one. Just got it yesterday. Don't have it in my show notes. But what I want to tell you folks is the science does not support mask wearing. It's actually more harmful to your health. Think about this. If masks were such a great and effective means, I was talking to my sister-in-law. Actually, she was yelling at me because she thinks I'm stupid. She's a director in the UPMC medical system. And she said, would you want the surgeon to operate on your mother without a mask? I said, Debbie, you're talking apples and oranges. It has nothing to do one with the other. She said, yes, it does. I said, let me ask you a question. You've been in surgeries before. What do they do with all of that protective gear after the end of the procedure? What do they do with the face masks and the gloves and everything? Oh, they go into a biohazard waste can. Exactly. I said, what do we do with our face masks? We shove them in our pocket or we drop them on the seat beside us in the car. But I thought this COVID-19 was so dangerous. Which is it, folks? And then we put them back on our faces. It's a joke. So read those reports. Now, I'm coming up on that clip I wanted to talk to you about. This was a YouTube video by a digital reporter, and I give a lot of respect to this guy. He's probably in his early 20s. He looks normal. No piercings, no tattoos. He was wearing a not only a shirt and tie, but a jacket. His name is Eduardo Naret, and he was speaking to students and young Americans. I don't know where this was taken. It's a longer clip. It's about almost 5 minutes, okay? And I think it's going to appall you. But he went around talking to students, young Americans, and there's actually two teachers in this clip. And he was asking them to explain the history between the 4th of July. And folks, I never use that term. I always refer to it as Independence Day, okay? But listen to this. It'll tell you where we're at and why there's a lack of knowledge in this country.
Hi, I'm Eduardo Naret with Campus Reform. With 4th of July coming up, we're talking to students and young Americans about the history of the holiday. Do they think America's a racist country? Do they even know what the 4th of July means? What date we got our independence and who we got our independence from? Let's find out. All right, so the 4th of July is coming up. You know, there are a lot of protests that have been going on around the country. What do you think the legacy of our country is? Do you guys think we're a racist country?
There is a little bit of racism, but I feel like it's more like with the police, you feel me?
America was built off of slavery and all of that.
Our country most definitely has a bad legacy. I think it's pretty obvious with the president that we have right now.
I have to agree, but I mean, obviously there's people in America that aren't racist, but there is racism in this country.
White people take it for granted. They think they're entitled, but they're not. Like, Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, but they take it to an extreme that they're like the supreme race.
I mean, yeah, racism has been around for quite a while. Like,
Black people like basically made this country. They, like, were slaves for a long time.
So with the 4th of July coming up, we're going to ask a couple questions. My first question for you guys is, what does the 4th of July commemorate?
The day we declared independence from Great Britain.
Basically America's birthday, right?
I think independence.
What year did we declare our independence?
I'm going to be real with you. I don't know.
1967, I'll say.
Close, a little off.
I don't know, 1859.
1964.
I'm going to give you a try. What do you think? What year did we get our independence?
1970-something, 74, something like that.
1979.
It was like the 1800s.
1864.
18,
yes, like 18.
19 is like, farther no, back?
Like 18,
it's further back.
From 1800s?
Oh, shit.
1777?
Super close.
76.
So we're actually very two interesting people to talk to. We're teachers. Okay. So I was a 7th grade civics teacher, government teacher, and she is an elementary school teacher, 4th grade, 2nd grade elementary school teacher.
What year did we get our independence?
17-something.
Who did we get our independence from? What country?
I don't know this question.
United States?
Do you guys know who we got our independence from?
I don't know.
America?
Oh, Britain.
Great Britain or something like that.
England.
What was the name of the war that we were fighting at the time?
The Civil War? The French Revolution, right?
The Civil War?
The Industrial Revolution, right?
I think it's the Civil War.
I actually don't remember. I know what it. I really just don't remember.
Try again.
World War II?
World War I.
Yeah, I will also say the Civil War.
World War II. Did not start in 1700, right? World War II was in 1900, dog.
Oh, the Britain War, yeah, that.
Further back.
World War I?
A little further back than that.
The Revolution.
The American Revolution.
You guys got a lot of them right. A lot of people didn't get them right today. Do you guys feel like you were taught enough about this in school? Do you guys feel like you were taught about this in the classroom?
No. They need better teachers.
I feel like because since people think it's history, it doesn't apply to them now, but like history tends to repeat itself, so it's definitely important that you do learn where you come from and to avoid certain things like that now.
Everybody should learn about our history.
It's our right to know what happened like for our country and why, you know, why we live the way we do and all of that stuff.
It's something that's in our history books and like we just flip through, you feel me? Like the teachers don't take time to like really teach it.
School. Everything in school is like what they think quizzes, you should know.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I just know that teachers do not want to teach it.
People are very ignorant. They think that they know everything.
Society really doesn't care about a lot of things unless it's right in front of their face. You get me?
So I personally know firsthand that we are not getting taught, specifically in social studies, the history that we need to know. I actually don't teach what's in our curriculum. I'm teaching children social studies that's not in our curriculum, teaching them things about how to be an anti-racist instead of teaching those same three famous black people that we continue to teach. I taught them about protesting. I taught them about Black Lives Matter. I taught them about things that are happening currently so that they could make those connections. And when they see it on the news, they're informed. They're not ignoring the facts of our world right now. They're facts that we're actually a racist country.
How's it going?
We're a racist
I'm
country.
I'm Eduardo Noret with Campus Reform. Thanks for watching. If you'd like to subscribe to get our latest content, click right here. If you're interested in joining our team as a correspondent or an investigator, click there. And if you want to donate to make sure we can create more great content like this, click right here.
I'm sorry about that, folks. I didn't cut that last part of the clip off. Did you hear that? When was the War of Independence fought? 1967, 1864? Further back than that? Further than the 1800s? I don't know. I don't know this question. Let me tell you a question. What war did we fight? The Industrial Revolution? No, World War II. No, World War I. The Britain War? Did you hear that? And then how about those two self-proclaimed interesting-to-talk-to teachers who don't educate or teach their students? They indoctrinate. They admitted it. She said she doesn't teach what's in the course curriculum. But what's important? What's important to who? To her? Folks, these are the reasons we have ignorance. Our children aren't being taught. They're being brainwashed. And that's why they're so willing to gather together now and to destroy America. The country our forefathers struggled to build and our brave veterans fought and died for to defend. It's despicable. And we need to stop paying for this education. Here's another article. To Hell in a Handbasket was on LouRockwell.com. This red ink, okay, is beyond imagination. Like I've said so many times over these special updates, people can't manage big numbers, very big numbers like trillions of dollars, and they can't manage very small numbers like the actual percentage of people dying. I use the analogy or the comparison to how many drops of water out of a gallon of water represent all the people in the world that have contracted the coronavirus, if you can trust the numbers. And then the even much smaller number that have actually died out of a gallon of water. So picture a gallon of water. We're talking drops, individual drops of water representing these two statistics. I'll tell you, folks, you can use statistics to lie, and that's what they're doing. During the yelling fest my sister-in-law had with me this week, she said, you realize this is like an airliner dropping out of the sky every day, the number of people that are dying. And I said, Debbie, 8,000 people a day die in the United States. That's a statistic. Go to the CDC and look. Oh, you believe the CDC? I said, that's where I get my numbers from. What are you talking about? Yeah, a lot of the verbiage, a lot of the narrative you hear from Redmond and all of his cohorts and Fauci, it's crazy, but the numbers are the numbers. They're there. Now, there has been some manipulation of even the numbers, but statistically, you could look at death rates, and then you have to cross-correlate them to the number of burials the various funeral homes have compiled across the country, and for the most part, they match. There's a little bit of sampling error, but for the most part, the deaths match, and there has been a deviation over normal, but not enough to justify everything you've seen. It's crazy, folks. I mean, go through this article with Lou Rockwell. And he refers to this group in Washington as the Clown Brigade, okay? And I love that term. But there's a trifecta, okay, of enemies coming right after America. And it's similar to what Brandon Smith talked about. It's the Fed gaming with all these lockdowns and the politicians. And then we have Donald Trump. I think he's been compromised, or I think he realizes that he's been painted into a corner. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like the Donald Trump that I voted for. Something has changed. You know, there's no way to dig out of this debt hole, folks. Sister and Kathy and I, we email almost every day. She sends me information. I look it up. We comment. She kind of gets the whole process stirring in my mind. This debt pit is huge. It's like the Grand Canyon, and if you've ever seen that, it just takes your breath away when you walk up to the Western Ridge. It's impossible to solve. You can't do it. The math doesn't work. How come the smart people out there can't see this simple truth? So we were exchanging ideas and forth, and I asked Sister Kathy this week why we haven't seen hyperinflation yet. With all this unearned money that's been pumped into the system. And she said, she heard off of one of the economics guys, it's the money velocity. And that's it, folks. It hit me like a ton of bricks. It all came crashing down. So you see, the velocity of money is low right now due to the lockdowns. Okay, so people got these infusions. All this money was put back into the banks. And the reason we don't see hyperinflation is because the velocity of money has decelerated. The velocity of money in terms of fiat or Keynesian economics is when you look at the number of times that a Federal Reserve note changes hands and the rate of time at which it changes hands. And if that doesn't match the GDP, you get inflation. It's not about workers' wages or prices going up. Prices go up because the velocity of money exceeded the gross domestic product. Now, they had to do this because back in the Clinton administration, the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed. That came along after the Great Depression and the collapse of 1929, and they separated investment banks from commercial banks. So investment banks were no longer able to do banking with yours and my money. Investment banks had to use speculators' money, and they went out and they speculated on all kinds of crazy schemes. In and of itself isn't bad. That's what you get to do in a free economy. But then Clinton allowed the investment banks to merge with the commercial banks, and now they're taking your money and my money, and they're doing this. Well, last fall, I said on the first special, go back and listen to my first coronavirus special. I told you that the economic system of the world was ready to collapse last fall. The Fed, they were doing these repo loans overnight to banks all around the world, $50 billion, $150 billion. The German banks were ready to collapse. Deutsche Bank was like on the verge of collapse, and they couldn't hold this together with these repo loans overnight anymore, and they had to do something. And then along comes event 2001 last fall, and they had everything they needed in place to lock down the economy. So what's more perfect than this? And people say, well, how can that all be done? Well, the way it's done, folks, is by a method used in industry every day to protect intellectual property and all the financials of the company. They use a process called compartmentalization. Now, they need to give really smart people free rein of their little domain. So they give the epidemiologists free rein of all the medical numbers, but they don't tell them about the financials. And they give the financial people free rein of all the financials, but they don't tell them the medical numbers. And they do that to the people in big companies. I worked for PPG Industries. I was in the fiberglass group. I had the good fortune. I was blessed to be assigned to me. At the time, I thought it was horrible. But I was given the job to bring out costs in the top 25 products in the fiberglass business. I hated it because the only way you got recognition is when you made new products. And I was number three in the company with product volume out of the largest plant out of Shelby, North Carolina. This is a fact. So I was a young guy. I was there about 5 or 6 years, and I was number three now on product volume. There were only two guys. They were old timers. They were there for over 30 years each. And my volume of product output from the largest fiberglass plant in the world was number three. And then I'm given this cost reduction project. But guess what it did? It opened all of the world of the financials to me because I had to see where to go after cost reduction. So I got to work with the cost accountants and all the people at headquarters in Pittsburgh. We call it GO in the PPG building. It's a big glass building. Actually, there's two of them in Pittsburgh. There's four or five of them. They're small, too. Kind of like a small version of the World Trade Center in Pittsburgh, made out of glass. Beautiful. But I'm getting off point. Point is, I learned about compartmentalization firsthand. Then I started my business years later, and I was expert at cost accounting because I had this project. But that's how they manage this type of stuff, folks, by compartmentalization. Hey, I just want to mention, out of USA Today, masks required. Walmart, Sam's Club require shoppers to wear masks. Now, I already mentioned this earlier in the show, but beginning on Monday, they're going to require masks. I want to point two things out in this article on how the mainstream media is not the fifth column anymore. Here's one quote from USA Today. The Retail Industry Leaders Association, which represents Walmart, Target, Best Buy, and other major chains, recently asked governors to mandate masks. Now listen to that word, mandate, okay, and remember it. Across the nation, and says different local mandates have created confusion, leading to conflicts between customers and store employees. And then the article concluded with this, and I'm going to just elaborate on two points here, that term mandate and this next point. Shopping in a store is a privilege and not a right, the Federation statement said. If a customer refuses to adhere to store policies, they are putting employees and other customers at undue risk. Says who? Okay, folks, that's what the article said. So let's just tease this out a little bit, okay? I had one of my customers that used to always say that to me. Another market that we supplied was the cooking sheets, the PTFE cooking sheets at all the McDonald's. So if you've eaten a hamburger in McDonald's over the last 5 years, you probably ate a hamburger cooked on one of the fabrics woven in our plant here in Western Pennsylvania. But anyways, let's just tease this out a bit, okay? Mandate. Do you know what a mandate is and who has the authority for government to actually issue a mandate? Does a governor have the authority to issue a mandate? Does a county commissioner have the authority to issue a mandate? How about a health director? No. No, they don't, folks. They don't have that authority. The only body in our type of government that has the authority to issue a mandate is the judiciary. And that's the truth. That's the truth. So how about this other one, the comment that shopping in a store is a privilege? Well, that's true. But guess what isn't a privilege? It isn't a privilege for a store to discriminate against me. These store policies, just read Walmart's policy. They probably have an anti-discrimination policy in there, promising not to discriminate against employees or shoppers. And in every state civil code, there's a code against discrimination for health and religious reasons. Well, I'm being discriminated if I'm forced to wear a mask on two grounds. First of all, health. I need to breathe fresh air. We all do. So I'm being discriminated against having a healthy environment to shop in. And secondarily, I don't believe we should ever be masked or muzzled. You ever hear that derogatory term, muzzies? You know why they're called muzzies? Because they wear masks. God breathed his breath into me, and I have the right to breathe in and out freely the breath of life. So that's the truth, folks. So what is the truth about COVID-19? Is it really as bad as the mainstream media says it is? Well, listen to this clip, and I'll let you decide itself. Okay? It's the, I have these backwards here. In my show notes, the next one is the coronavirus truth in 6 minutes. Okay? The simple truth about coronavirus. This was put together by a guy over in the Netherlands, I believe. His name is Steven Nudehoek. Listen to what Stephen put together. He did an excellent job. If you want this video, and the graphics are very good, and you really ought to be watching it as you listen. And thank you, Sister Kathy. She sent this one. But listen to this. It's a 5-minute, 40-second clip. It's called Corona, the Simple Truth.
A few months ago, scientists discovered that there was a new virus that was said to be very contagious, very deadly, and without treatment. The experts, or those experts that our governments trusted to be the best, predicted an outbreak with an enormous death toll and a never-foreseen burden on hospitals and ICUs. We started testing, a lot, and guess what? The more tests we made, the more cases we discovered. There was only one thing we could do to prevent the world from ending: flatten the curve. Many countries took drastic measures trying to prevent the apocalypse and did what humanity had never done before: shut down the entire society, shut down a major part of the economy, and quarantine the healthy. We installed social distancing, new rules, new laws, a new normal, things that could only be lifted as soon as there would be a new vaccine that could save us all. But, plot twist, months later, independent scientists look back and they now see that those predictions were all astronomically wrong. Deaths have been orders of magnitude lower. They are, in fact, even comparable to other severe flu seasons. And yes, there were local variations in severity, as always, in every flu season. But what was actually going on then? First things first, the world was not on the brink of an extreme outbreak of a highly deadly and highly contagious disease. Instead, we were already well underway in a pretty normal infection wave of a pretty normal mixture of flu viruses, in which, as every year, coronaviruses were the last of the season. The exponential growth in cases that looked so frightening was nothing more than the direct result of the exponentially growing number of tests performed, showing positives on people that were already weeks or months before exposed to the virus. Every year when we lab test people with flu-like symptoms, we always find a mix of viruses. Rhinoviruses always come first, then influenza A and B appear, and finally the coronaviruses show up in the game. So, what was different this year? Actually, nothing. Let's have a look at the infection waves in all countries. There seems to be no correlation between lockdown or social distancing and the run of the infection waves. Countries with strict or no measures did comparably well, or bad, in keeping the spread of the virus low. Actually, in most countries, social distancing was imposed well after the true infection wave, or R value, peaked, indicating that lockdowns did not cause the cases to drop. So, if all social distancing and drastic measures did not make the outbreaks halt, what did instead? The outbreak halted in most countries because of the same reason it halts every flu season, every year: atmospheric circumstances, like the weather, temperature, and humidity, and growing immunity that make it harder and harder for the virus to spread. But wait, didn't we learn that we were not even close to herd immunity? The world had to brace for a second wave and could only return back to normal if there was a corona vaccine? You know what? Why don't we first go back a bit and look at the corona killer virus again? The virus that was so terribly contagious, so terribly deadly, and had no vaccine. Well, turns out, independent science now shows it's even less contagious than influenza. It is about as deadly as a bad flu, and there is lots of scientific proof that there is an affordable, reliable, safe, and working medicine that can be taken in the early stages of the illness that will even prevent patients from getting hospitalized. So, all of this makes the danger of the coronavirus, or COVID-19, actually comparable to that of a mild to severe flu season. And yes, corona kills, for sure, just like influenza does. But it's not as deadly as illnesses that we have been living with for hundreds and hundreds of years without that much attention of the media. You might be wondering, those antibody tests only show 5 to 10% positives, and to be safe, we needed 70 to 80%, right? So we are not even close? No. What you've been told is not really what reflects reality. Let's first have a look at the amazing thing that is our immune system, which is composed by the innate immune system, your skin, your saliva, gastric acids, common cell flora, and much more. And your adaptive immune system, killer T cells, helper T cells, and antibodies. Pretty cool, huh? Turns out that for, like, influenza and other types of viruses, most of us have an innate immunity already, which is, for example, why 75% of the elderly that were exposed on the cruise ship Diamond Princess did not get the virus at all, even though they were drifting around as a perfect incubator for a month. This cross-immunity, or background immunity, is very well known in science, but whoever cared to tell us about that? Maybe it's time we start to rethink our actions. Maybe we need to question social distancing, question the new normal, question the corona vaccine, and question the entire crisis. Maybe, after all, it's a really good idea to just inform ourselves, embrace independent science, embrace discussion, and embrace common sense. We've survived a lot of things already. We can probably handle this one as well.
So like I said, I thought Stephen did such a good job on that. Please, the video is so well assembled. He did a professional job on that. The graphics are excellent. If you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. Corona, the simple truth in under 6 minutes. And I'd suggest you download it before it disappears. Oh, and by the way, Sister Kathy sent me a website that was created, I don't know how long ago. It's archiving hundreds of thousands of these deleted YouTube videos in so many different diverse topics. I'd like to cover that next week on part two of our Lack of Knowledge series. But anyways, get that video, watch it, and listen to it as you look at the graphics. It's all I've been saying since day one. Remember, folks, I'm a practicing PhD scientist, experimental PhD scientist. And this is all I've been saying from day one. Numbers can be manipulated, and that's what I'm seeing here. And why did I even get into it? Well, it wasn't first because I was looking for a conspiracy under this bush. I needed to understand how to respond. We have a workforce. I have to deal with it. And then there's this video. This is a podcaster with a rather large following, okay? And in 5 minutes, this guy nails it. How come the mainstream media can't do it with their 24-hour repetitive news cycles? Can you say propaganda? That's why they can't do it. But listen to Jeremy Elliott as he gives you the truth in 5 minutes. It's an iconic podcast, and it's on YouTube. Again, thank you, Sister Kathy, but just listen to this. I just got a response yesterday from one of my office managers who finally got to listen to it. She works 3 days a week, and Cindy said, excellent. Cindy's waking up, and she's sharing it with all her friends. So we need to get this word out. We need to stand up, and we need to say no more. Listen to what Jeremy put together.
What we're actually seeing is the systematic implementation of the fall of the Republic and the rise of the Corporation of the United States. Every major event is a step in the ladder to achieve that end. COVID is just another rung in the ladder, which is why there's a deliberate mixing of all the wordplay, right? I mean, we should stop calling it, you know, quarantine. That's a term designated for people that are verified sick. This is a house arrest mandated by the state. You should stop calling it, you know, social distancing. There's nothing social about forced isolation. We should stop saying safer at home when millions of Americans don't have basic necessities adequate to fit their needs. It assumes that everybody's home is equally as safe as the people that are making the statements. We should stop saying, you know, this is for the greater good, right? When you close the economy, killing millions of businesses that families have worked generations to establish, that's anything but good. We should stop saying, this is the new normal. That's just blatant mind control drivel. There's nothing normal about forced isolation, you know, treating your neighbor like they have the plague, breathing your own bodily waste, wearing masks, living in constant fear of contamination. That's normal. I mean, after all, if the virus is so deadly, why hasn't it wiped out the homeless who don't social distance, wash themselves regularly, let alone, you know, live in or have access to a sterile environment? Last year, 1.5 million people died of tuberculosis. Why were you not wearing a mask during the tuberculosis pandemic? You were endangering, you know, public health and safety along with billions of other people around the globe. So why didn't you wear a mask? I'll tell you why. Because the mainstream media didn't tell you to wear a mask. Right? And so because though 1.5 million people died from tuberculosis, there was no tuberculosis pandemic any more than there's a coronavirus pandemic. What you're really participating in is a beta test for AI systems and facial recognition. See, these cameras work best when people are, you know, distance apart. Now they're actually testing through machine learning how to recognize, you know, a face that's partially covered. It's also a way to easily determine who's compliant and who's not. Who does the propaganda work on and who it doesn't? Now get this, you know, there's some ironies that are here, right? A society that kills millions of babies a year for convenience has shut itself down to prevent adults from dying. People that on the one hand slaughter babies in the womb by the millions are now preaching to the masses about the sanctity of human life. It's double speak, double talk. It's the two-doctrine policy, one for the initiated, one for the uninitiated, one for the inner circle, another for the masses. It's like saying, you know, if I violate the stay-at-home order, I can be arrested, but you're letting convicted criminals out of prison so they don't get coronavirus. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. If there's a real pandemic, does it require, you know, faulty virus models, rigged test results, 81% false positives, inaccurate news reporting, staged hospital overruns, manipulated death certificates? Nope. You know, when the government shuts down, you know, millions of small businesses but doesn't lay off any government employees, it's not about the health. When the state bans dentists from practicing but deems it necessary for abortion clinics to stay open, it's not about your health. When the state prevents you from buying seeds for your garden but allows you to purchase lottery tickets, it's not about your health. An institution that, you know, has the ability to destroy all of Earth through, you know, alleged nuclear warfare should not regulate personal self-defense. You know, an institution that's caught trafficking drugs shouldn't be able to regulate plants. An institution that's racked up $23 trillion prior to coronavirus in debt shouldn't be allowed to manage the retirement fund. An institution that was caught spreading STDs should not be allowed to run health care. If people are really concerned about public health and safety, you know, in general, but, you know, they don't care if people, you know, eat garbage, drink poison, smoke cancer, and take prescription drugs, but think that toilet paper, hand sanitizer, and mask are going to protect them from the boogeyman coronavirus. You know, this is a special kind of stupid that I can't address here. You should ask yourself a couple basic questions. When did you consent from, you know, you creating a government to serve you to you serving the government ruling over you? If you want to know, you know, who's in charge, just think about who you can and can't criticize.
You know, Mr. Elliott, he gets it. And all I'll say is, well done, sir. I'm thinking about reaching out to Mr. Elliott there and see if maybe we can do a few things together. It's really good. So what do you think? Is it true that people are destroyed from lack of knowledge? What do you think after everything you just heard today? Well, I'm telling you, the short answer is yes. Because that's what the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Now, folks, I was a truth junkie way before I was a Christian. I was a truth junkie back in my teens. I didn't understand anything. Then I got saved. And guess what? I backslid. And I went back into the pursuit of truth. And then 9/11 came along. And guess where it led me again, folks? Right back to what I backslid from. The truth itself. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set ye free. And that's Jesus. So as I was pursuing all of these ventures in truth, bumping into Jesus. So I encourage you folks to share these messages. Okay, do that. Tell them to just listen to the first part, if nothing else. Because I know one thing that's true. If they go on a pursuit of truth, they're going to end up at Jesus. I did. Not once, but twice. And praise the Lord for that. You know, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will lead you unto all truth. Now, the thing you need to do when you're led is you have to follow. So, do you ever wonder why God had Hosea say that? That my people, God's people, are destroyed for lack of knowledge? And what was it that Israel didn't know? And why is this lack of knowledge so dangerous today in the U.S.? The end of this verse from Hosea, you can see some insight that God gave Hosea where he says, because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also forget your children. Now, next week, folks, what I'd like to do is tie in some of the philosophy of John Dewey and some of the great work. I just forgot his name. Oh. Anyways, there's a contemporary researcher that is showing how education has destroyed knowledge. It'll come back to me here in a minute. And it's so crucial to understand this and to see that the context of this verse that was written, 3,000 years ago, is relevant to today. You know, because this knowledge was rejected by the Israelites, okay? It's another way of God saying, Israel, you forgot the law. And yes, there is a law. So things that may be legal today aren't necessarily lawful. And if you've listened to me any bit of time, you know that's true. It may be legal to kill a fetus. And you know what fetus means in Latin? And Ethan and I were talking about this at the plant. Ethan said, you know, fetus is the Latin word for baby. I said, exactly. But do you think maybe they used that term because it sounds so grotesque, like zygote or fetus? So it dehumanizes this child. That's exactly what they're doing. That's a lack of knowledge, folks. So it may be legal to kill a fetus today, but it's not legal. I mean, it's not lawful in the eyes of God. And so because Israel rejected knowledge, because the U.S. is rejecting knowledge, we are being cursed. And that's what we learn if we look at the context of Hosea from chapter 4. And it's very relevant to what's going on today. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. Did you hear that? No truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. And that's exactly what's happening in America today, folks. Right now, in the middle of these manufactured crises, just like in Israel, way back in the time of Hosea, the people failed to acknowledge the Lord as their God. Sound familiar? Isn't that exactly what we see happening in the U.S. right now? In fact, it's been a downward spiral since the 60s, when the Bible, prayer, and even the Ten Commandments that still hang in the Supreme Court and many courts across the land today were removed from the schools. These government schools, I mean public schools. People back in Israel are just like the people today in America. They simply lack knowledge or understanding of God's laws. And not only do they lack it, they're actively rejecting it. But hold on, there's even more. There's a deeper understanding to be gleaned from this passage. It is, since Israel rejected knowledge in God's law, God's rejecting them. So Israel had forgotten about God's law. And isn't that what's happening in America today? So, ipso facto, God's forgetting his children. In other words, he stopped blessing Israel. And isn't he pulling his blessing from America today? Let's face it, okay, do you really think America's being blessed, quote-unquote blessed today? And by blessed, what I'm saying is, do you really think that God's bestowing his divine favor upon this nation called the United States of America right now. Do you? Really? Be honest. Do you think God's protecting or guarding us from evil right now? Do you? Really? In the midst of these riots and all the violence and the spike in deaths, and yes, there is a spike in deaths over the norm. If you look at the daily or weekly death rate from the CDC, and if you want to see that, email me and I'll send you a link to it or even a screen capture because it's hard to navigate that page. But my point is, do you really think we're being blessed? And then there's these draconian measures of control from the state, federal, and even local governments. Lockdowns, mandates, masks. What's happening in America today, folks? These aren't blessings. These are curses. Now get this. It's not only this passage out of Hosea chapter 4 that warns America today. It also falls under the warning that Moses gave in Deuteronomy 28. And I'd like to get into that in a bit more detail next week, okay? And in Deuteronomy 28, Moses warns us that God will remove his blessings from a nation where the people are disobedient. And folks, isn't that happening today, right now? I mean, do I have to make a list of our disobediences? Maybe I will for next week. From abortion to legalized sodomy. Yeah, how about when the same-sex marriages came? They swept through America like a wave, didn't they? All the states. Now churches closing all across America. And do you think it's temporary? No, folks, it's the new normal. And they blame it on the scamdemic. Yet BLM protesters, as Mayor de Blasio said, that Marxist up in New York City, claims that they're allowed to gather because it's a higher good than worshiping the God who's over all of us, believer and unbeliever alike. Give me a break, folks. It's the beginning of Hosea in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that we see that Israel's lack of knowledge wasn't mere ignorance, but active sin against God. And I'm telling you, that's what we have today. Hosea says there's no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. And isn't that today? They're swearing and lying and murder and stealing and adultery, breaking all the boundaries of normal, the bloodshed that follows bloodshed. Aren't we seeing all this today? Folks, what I'm saying is that the people of Israel were not only ignorant about God's law, they actively ignored it. And that's exactly what the people of America are doing today. You know, back then, Hosea's warning to Israel was ignored and even scoffed at. And ultimately what happened? Israel was conquered by Assyria during the time of Hosea. And today, China's poised to strike the U.S., not only in the South China Sea. You know, recently, China's defense minister, Wang Fei, he said that the two U.S. carrier groups that are in the South China Sea right now remain unharmed only by the grace of China, only by their forbearance. In other words, China claims that right now with their latest missile technology that President Bill Clinton gave them, they could blow both of those carrier fleets right out of the water. But hold on, folks, it's worse than that. Do you remember when I told you several weeks ago that the Chinese have troops massed on the northern portion of Mexico and our southern border? Bases in northern Mexico right now that each hold about 50,000 Chinese troops. And then there's another 300,000 Chinese troops in southern Canada on our northern border. That's nearly 1 million Chinese troops in striking distance of the land of the free and the home of the brave. You don't believe me? Just do a little bit of research. Now, you have to dig a little deeper today because these algorithms aren't turning them up, but it's still out there, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's true. Yet not a peep on the mainstream media. No outrage from Joe Biden, okay? No outrage from any of the politicians. And then this week, Joe Biden, in a fundraiser, quoted Mao Zedong when he said that women hold up half the sky. Yet nothing was even said on the mainstream media. This is Maoist Marxist philosophy, folks. I'm telling you, these are dire times. And as Christians, we need to be aware. And folks, I'm hoping that Jesus comes back for his bride very soon. I mean, there's indicators everywhere. Sister Kathy sends me information like that every week, too. And we don't have to have any more prophecies fulfilled for Jesus to come back before I even finish this next sentence. No, with the trump of God, the voice of the archangel, and the shout of God. All who trust in Jesus and live in him and confess him as Lord and Savior, we're going to be raptured, folks. And believe me when I tell you this, Maranatha. I want that even more than I want my very next breath. But what if Jesus tarries? What are we as Christians to do then? Well, in the best voice of a priest or a saint or a prophet that we all are, I say to you, despair not. For even in judgment, folks, God spares a remnant and he restores his relationship with them. God's waiting there. And praise the Lord, these prophecies of Hosea reflect this pattern of God, this quality of God, this character of God. Yes, Israel was judged, yet the Lord later restored his people, and that's because he loved them, just as he loves his children today. You know, these people who confess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, those folks today will be spared, whether or not Jesus comes back. Think about it like this. You know, Jesus died for our sins, and his death offered everyone who has ever lived or who ever will live an opportunity to come to him. Read John 3:16 in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So to all of those who believe on him as both Lord and Savior, Jesus is the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And praise the Lord, because of Jesus Christ, there's no need for any of us to ever be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, I'm out of time today, but I'm going to continue these thoughts next week out of Hosea, and then we're going to get into Deuteronomy and what Moses warned the people. But I'm out of time today, folks. And what I need to do is get this queued up here. I didn't have it ready. I apologize for that. I could use an engineer. I really could. But I don't have one, so I have to do this all myself. But I'm going to continue these next week in part two of this message. And that's provided we're still here in the Lord's willing. But for this week, that's all the time I have. So I'm just encouraging y'all to believe on Jesus and just allow the wisdom of God to fill you as we cling to Jesus in these crazy times. Folks, I love y'all. Let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and praise Jesus as we sing that same power. That same power is in you and me, folks. I love y'all.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can